He will make a way when there is no way. Sometimes we walk into a setting like this and we worship and we come in with a pile of junk piled on our shoulders, right? And sometimes we feel as though no matter what's happening in the world, you feel crushed by the things that are coming at you, but He will make a way when there is no way. Do you believe that? I was going to jump into something else, but after that moment of worship, I think we just need to recognize that we serve a God who has your best interest in mind. He's for you, not against you. He loves you and cares for you even when you don't know it, and He supports you and holds you and guides you through life, and He will make a way. Don't ever forget that. You're not alone. No matter the struggle, the challenge, the obstacle that you're facing, you are not alone, and He will make a way. You know, as I could get into this, I could scrap my message, I shouldn't do that, and just talk about that, because my goodness, have we all felt that in our lives? And maybe you feel it today. But He will make a way. If I wasn't moved by the Spirit, I was supposed to talk about our congregational meeting that's coming up. You know, we go from that to the, I guess it's exciting in the fact that my pastoral vote is coming up on May 28th at our congregational meeting. I hope you like what you're doing here, because I don't want to go anywhere. But this is the thing. On May 28th at 6:30, we're having our annual meeting where we gather and we talk about the business stuff of the church. We give a health update on what's happening and where we're going. And this year, the way it has fallen is my vote. You guys will vote on me. Now, I do have to say this. We do make absentee ballots available, but it's not because it's a nice sunny Tuesday in June and you don't want to come. That doesn't count. You don't get an absentee ballot because you feel like you want to cut the lawn. If you're ill or you're traveling or you have an extenuating circumstance that you really can't get out of, that's why you would take one of those absentee ballots. That's not from me. That's from the discipline of our church, the guiding documents, so that people show up and they participate in the meeting, even when there's a vote of that magnitude. So that's coming up on the 28th. I hope you're all here as we vote and talk about the health and life of our church and all that's going on. And let me tell you, I can't wait, because there's so much good going on around this place. There's so much good. Now, I have some other good news to share with you, and you might not think it's good news at first blush, but here we go. This is the good news. You will face obstacles in your life. That's good news. The writer James writes this in his letter. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Testing, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes when obstacles come our way, sometimes when maybe in your job you have a boss who is just ridiculous. I think my staff says that all the time. Or maybe you have a nasty coworker or someone you deal with when you're at work and you feel like you're at wit's end. Just remember, consider it pure joy when you face obstacles of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Maybe the obstacle has come financially for you. You're trying to pay off debt, or you're trying to buy something and save up so you don't put it on credit, and you're trying to pay cash for whatever it is you're trying to purchase. And then this is what always happens to us. Your car breaks down. Who's been there before? And then all the money you've been saving and trying to pay off debt goes on to pay off a car, and it is awful. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it is pretty discouraging. From personal experience, when leading a church such as ours, you face obstacles of many kinds. It's just part of the gig. Last week, Maher was here and he spoke about life, the reality of life in ministry in Lebanon. And he spoke here on Sunday morning, but then on Sunday night and Monday night, he pulled back the veil a little bit more and shared more of the reality of what life is like in Lebanon. Just consider this for a moment. The Lebanese lira, just put your math hat on. The Lebanese lira, when I was traveling to Lebanon years ago, one U.S. dollar was worth 1,500 Lebanese lira. It was stable and it was that way for years. Just think about this. When the banking system collapsed and the country dove into this awful depression, one U.S. dollar was now worth 89,000 Lebanese lira. Their currency collapsed. If you had lira in the bank overnight, it was useless. The corrupt government and all that's happening, the random bombing, schools collapsing, lack of resources. Why would Maher and his team stay in Lebanon? Why wouldn't they go anywhere else in the world? Because they're persevering. So they may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Because as I was talking to Maher, he has had opportunities to move a number of other places in the world as people have tried to get him to come to their country. And he has said, no, I am staying here in this incredibly difficult spot to love those I come in contact with. Mothers, there's no need for perseverance in raising children, is there? Children, and if you're a child here, I'm sorry, we're all children of some sort, but children are exhausting. Just call it out, right? You can laugh, it's okay. Your children, if they're sitting next to you, say, you're exhausting. But parents persevere through. We push through. We keep doing the thing. And mothers, thank you for pushing through and persevering. Thank you, grandmothers, mothers, helping to shape us into who we are. But we've all faced obstacles. We've all faced things in our face, criticism, doubt, things that you wish would go quickly, go too slowly, or things you wish would go slowly, go too quickly, and there is this wall. And do you know Jesus faced criticism and obstacles himself? Did you know that? He faced it to the point where the religious leaders nailed him to a cross. He understands obstacles. He understands things not going our way. He understands what it's like to live a holy and righteous life and still have people hate you. That was his story. And that's the Savior we follow. All of our heart check partners have faced many obstacles. If we're lucky enough, they're gone. So if you didn't get one, too bad. But if you didn't get one, all the information in this book is right on our website. You can look it up. But all of our partner ministries that are listed in this book have faced obstacles of many kinds. And this is why through Heart Check, we are committing to pray like crazy for them, to go and to link arms and to get our hands dirty and serve with our partner ministries, whether it's in Honduras, whether it's in the west side or east side of Buffalo, or whether it's anywhere in the middle, that we are called to go and serve and participate. And then I have to say this, we are called to give financially to Heart Check as we support and fund the ministry that we're a part of in so many locations. So as we continue our study in Nehemiah through Heart Check, which we're calling moved to pray, move to go, move to give, we're going to jump in and we're going to see that Nehemiah had many critics. He had people looking at him, calling him names, calling out the work he was doing and say, what are you doing? You're ridiculous. And we'll see that Nehemiah persevered through dealing with his critics. So when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, the Gentiles who lived in the area rejoiced and they became powerful because Jerusalem no longer had any power. And two of these individuals who grabbed power were Sanballat and Tobiah. And they were not thrilled to see the Jews rebuilding the wall. In fact, they were pretty upset. And let's jump into Nehemiah 4, verse 1, and see what they thought and how they acted. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and of the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was by his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing on it would break down the wall of stones." Nehemiah was facing critics, and we need to face our critics sometime as well, don't we? We all have critics. We've all felt the sting of ridicule, the sting of when we're starting something new or engaging in a new way where people look at us from the outside and they say, "You can't do that. What business do you have stepping into that role, that position, that place of authority? You're not qualified. You're not good enough. What are you thinking?" Have you ever been there? Have you ever faced ridicule for living out your faith when you're just trying to take the next right step and leave a holy and righteous life, and people look at you and say, "You're being ridiculous"? Ridicule happens all the time when we step out and we do the things that God has called us to. The world at large doesn't want to see our God prosper. The world doesn't want to see us make a difference. And when we step out, often we are met with ridicule. It can happen in church. It can happen in your place of employment, with your friends at school, with your neighbors, wherever you find yourself. Ridicule can happen. Depend on it. If you attempt to do something great or do something out of the ordinary, you will face ridicule. Cheery news for a Mother's Day. There you go. Have a great week. But I think it's a reality we need to come to grips with. And as we continue in the story of Nehemiah, he definitely faces ridicule at the hands of those who oppose him. But what does he do? What is Nehemiah's reaction in the face of ridicule? In verses 4 through 5, this is Nehemiah's reaction. "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." I love this about Nehemiah. What does he do? He gets on his knees and he prays. When faced with ridicule, he doesn't throw insults back. He doesn't put a plan in play right away. That's what I would do. When faced with ridicule or things going against me, sometimes you just want to come up with a response right away, right? Come on, you've done this. Somebody says something harsh, and what's your first reaction? To fire back. But what does Nehemiah do? He prays. In the first week of the series, we saw that when Nehemiah heard that the walls were being, they were destroyed and the people were without protection, the first thing he did was to pray. He fasted and prayed. When he went to talk to the king, before a word came out of his mouth, he paused and prayed. And now in this chapter, we see that when he's facing opposition, his first reaction is to pray. I think that's a good lesson for us, isn't it? Just think about your day tomorrow and the things you're going to face and maybe the obstacles or opposition that you will face starting maybe even this afternoon as you get together with family. That's real. But even as you're getting together with people or you go to work or school or whatever you do tomorrow, what if you just stopped and prayed before the day began and said, Lord, I know obstacles are coming my way. I know people give me a hard time for whatever I do. And you paused and prayed and asked God to lead you through that situation. That's your first reaction, not the last resort. It's the thing you do before everything else where you pray and you seek the face of the Lord, because that's Nehemiah's example. I think that's a great lesson. It's a great posture to take. And you can hear the anger in Nehemiah's prayer. For we are despised, turn their insults back on their own heads, give them as plunder in the land of captivity. That's not a gentle prayer. He has a real conversation with God where he pours out his heart and says, God, those enemies against me, and I'm paraphrasing, this is the Paul Gartley version, destroy them. Oh gosh, it would be good to pray that, wouldn't it? I probably wouldn't say that, but I'd say, Lord, remove these people. Remove the obstacle. Let me learn what I can learn through this obstacle, but then, Lord, give me victory in this situation and remove these wicked people. Remove this thing that stands before me and push it off to the side so I can continue to do what you have called me to do. We are to pray. The next thing that is really incredible about Nehemiah, he encourages his people to keep at it. In the face of obstacles, in the face of people, and you'll see as we get into the story, in the face of everything that's happening, Nehemiah makes a stand and say, we have to keep at it. The Lord has called us to build the wall. We need to keep going. In verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, when Sanballat and Tobiah were calling cheap shots from the cheap seats. Try to say that three times quick. He stuck to it. He didn't cave in the face of pressure. He didn't cave in the face of an obstacle. He kept going. Sometimes the best course of action when obstacles come is to take the next right step and keep moving forward. In fact, Sanballat and Tobiah were trying to distract Nehemiah, and Nehemiah said, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down to talk to these men. I can't do it. I don't care that they're here. I have work to do. Keep at it. If God has called you to something God-sized and obstacles come your way, do not stop what God has called you to do, but keep at it. Of course, his opponents didn't give up. They just shifted their tactics. They tried something else. Let's see what they did next. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But look at the next line. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. They heard that they were very angry, that they were amassing their armies, and they were coming. And Nehemiah's first reaction again was to pray to God. There's something there that we need to learn. This is why we began Heart Check with prayer for a solid week, because we as a congregation and actually church in the West, we need to learn how to pray and intercede on behalf of others and to seek the face of our Lord. And we can learn that from Nehemiah. But let's see, he goes a step further. Then I said to the nobles, to the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out. It's a huge wall. They were all over it working. and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. And I love this next line, our God will fight for us. It's just like the song we just sang, isn't it? It isn't just random that we choose the songs that we do. Our God will give us victory. Nehemiah believed it. He did station guards against the wall. He had a plan, but he knew that God would fight for them. And then the next thing happens. They band together. When a threat came, they rallied together to face it. That's what we do with our partner ministries through Heart Check. That's why we do this. Our partner ministries are on the front lines of some pretty awful situations. We vet these partners. We meet with them. They're friends. We've seen their ministry flourish. And the ministries in this book are not just by happenstance. They are doing good work. But you know what? The obstacles are real. And that's why we're challenging you to pray, go, and give to support and undergird the work of those who are doing what needs to be done. But you know, as I say band together, do you know what human nature is? When you see somebody hurting down, the world often, and not everybody, but often kicks people when they're down, right? Have you seen that? We start piling on. It's typical bully behavior. A bully starts bullying somebody in high school, and what do kids do? They generally jump on the side of the bully as opposed to defending the kid who's being picked on. It's just human nature. And you think it doesn't happen in church. Well, sometimes it happens in the church, where when a Christian is down and having an incredibly difficult time at a different point in their life, it's easy to look at them and say, boy, they really screwed up. Instead of banding together, picking them up, and carrying them to victory, we need to learn from Nehemiah and band together. Obstacles could tear us apart. They could have teared Nehemiah apart. If Nehemiah would have heard Sanballat and Tobiah were amassing an army, he could have hightailed out of there, but he didn't. He prayed and he trusted God. When there's an obstacle in your path, do not run the other way. Pray. Seek the face of the Lord. Keep doing what the Lord has called you to do. Keep at it. And then band together. And then band together. There should be no Christian who's struggling who struggles alone. That's not part of the community of faith that our God has called us to. When we see somebody struggling, we put our arm around them, we hold them up, and we help them to prosper. One of our Heart Check partners is Jericho Road. They have been in different capacities for decades, but in particular, this year through Heart Check, we're supporting their medical clinic in the Democratic Republic of Congo, or the DRC. The DRC is a dark place, but we support this medical clinic that is making a difference. And I want you to hear from the director of the clinic, Chantel, as she tells the story of what's happening in Congo.
My name is Chantel Mandro. I am the wellness clinic director, and I thank all our donors for helping us help our population in DRC Congo, and especially in Goma. And every month we have more than 200 delivery of baby, and we have less space and building to take care for this woman, and our workers are very tired. We need more workers in our maternity service. And we have also the free recovery primary school to help the children that was not going to school to have education. And now these children are finishing the primary school. We need to have the high school to give them the good education. And we have also the empowering center for women, and for women who are learning tiring basketry, and to empower the capacity to have the work and the money to help the children. And we need more space and equipment to educate these women. And we have also a malnutrition center. Every month we receive more than 100 malnourished children, and we need to have we have less funds to take care and give them the good food. We need more money and space and the dining place for these children. Thank you.
Our church helped start that clinic from day one. There was nothing there. Women often die in childbirth. Their children die in childbirth. They're delivering 200 babies a month. Their ministry has expanded from simple health care to now community development. And she didn't share this, but they lead with the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person they serve. Chantel's a wonderful person. English, I think, is her third or fourth language. But you heard her heart. There are many obstacles in the DRC. The world has ravaged Congo for its natural resources for centuries. Stealing the minerals, stealing the rubber from the rubber trees, stealing, killing, maiming. Rebel groups still patrol parts of eastern Congo looking for a military solution or to gain control of the natural resources. And Jericho Road feels that pressure, but they don't go. They stay. The obstacles are real. They remain planted, knowing that the testing of their faith will develop perseverance, and perseverance must finish their work so they may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. And we get to be a part of it through Heart Check. To say, Chantel, we know you're ministering to people in your context. We know you're loving and caring for them. We want to pray. When travel is okay, we want to go. And we want to give financially to your work, Chantel, so that you can help the lives of people most of us will never meet. Last week when Maher was here, our giving to Heart Check will help share the gospel of Jesus Christ to students from Syria, from Iraq, Armenian students, Lebanese students. By giving to Heart Check, we give these young people an opportunity to know our God. Two Saturdays ago, some of you say, why do we do all this work overseas? Why don't we focus here? Man, we're focusing more in the south towns in our city than I think we ever have. 2 weeks ago, two Saturdays, not last night, but the Saturday before, my wife and I had dinner with Julie Palmer and her husband, Jeff. Julie is the executive director of PATH, People Against Trafficking Humans. Now, you may not believe this, but human trafficking in Western New York is unbelievable. People are trafficked through here. People are here. People come here to find safety. Human trafficking is the real problem in our world. And as I sat with Julie and heard her stories of how the struggles and the challenges and the obstacles, and I think my wife asked her, your life is so much different than mine. But you know what? She keeps doing it. In the face of the obstacles and challenges, and let me tell you, there are people who don't want human trafficking to go away. There are people who love human. As she was talking, I was ready to throw up. It was so sick. It's insidious. But she stands in that place and says, no, I'm going to offer these women hope through Jesus Christ. She is our extension, Revive's extension into that world. So we're going to pray for Julie. We're going to pray for Maher. We're going to pray for Chantel like crazy this next year. Some of us will go and serve alongside them. Some of us will get on a plane or drive into the city or serve here in the South Towns as we make a difference for those who need to know Jesus. And I hope through Heart Check that you have this burden in your heart to give financially to these ministries. You heard Chantel say it. They're lacking in resources and people and many things. I want that ministry to prosper. I want Julie's ministry, I want PATH to prosper. No one else in Western New York shares the faith of Jesus Christ with women who are in human trafficking like Julie does. It's incredible. I want to support her. Next week is commitment weekend for Heart Check. Next week is going to be an incredible week as we invite people from all campuses. All campuses will be here. We're usually at one church with five locations. Next week, we will be one church with one location. We'll all be here. But it's also Commitment Sunday, where I'm going to ask every one of you to make a commitment to Heart Check. The commitment cards are out on the table in the lobby. I encourage you to take one today, bring it home, and for the next week, pray over this card like crazy. Seek the face of the Lord. Ask him how he wants you to commit. Does he want you to pray and for a specific ministry or in general? But maybe he's calling you to pray. And this is so exciting. If all of us committed to pray for one of our Heart Check or all of our Heart Check partners, it would change their ministry. Maybe next week you'll decide, I would like to volunteer with one of these ministries now or in the future. That you want to get your hands dirty and engage and serve in a meaningful way. And I'm hoping that a bunch of you decide to give financially to Heart Check. I'm just going to say it. The resources, the financial resources we provide, allow these ministries to do the things they do. I will never sit in a counseling room with a woman who has been rescued for human trafficking, but I want to support the person who does. I feel I just do. That's a personal conviction, and I just do. So before you go today, take one of these cards home. Many of you have received them in the mail with a letter. If you didn't get one, they're out here in the lobby, but grab one of these cards and pray over it and seek the Lord and ask what he would have you do. And in fact, right now, I'm going to give a few moments of silence, not moments of silence, but time for you to pray and even ask the Lord right now, how do you want me to participate, to give, and to Heart Check? God, how are you going to move me to pray, move me to give, or move me to go? So take a minute. Just between you and the Lord, just begin to ask that question, and then I'll close our time in prayer. Father, I thank you for our Heart Check partners. I thank you that they are our extension in the area of ministry in which you have called them to. Father, I pray that in the week that follows between today and next time we gather, that you would stir in our hearts, that you would help us decide if we should pray, go, or give, and to what extent. Lord, move in our hearts. We thank you for Nehemiah's example of pushing through in the face of obstacles. We thank you that our partner ministries push through in the face of many obstacles. And Father, as we continue to do heart check year after year, and there are obstacles to many things in Western New York and the South Towns, as we all know, but Father, help us to push through, to pray, to go, and to give. And reveal to us this week how we should engage. We thank you, Jesus. And I pray these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.